Hi, welcome to my podcast, Factor Fitting. I'm on a mission to lose weight for an operation, and in doing turn this overweight body into a slightly more desirable one. It's definitely going to take a while, and I might need some plastic surgery to achieve full fitting level. But I'll get there.
I've got some great feedback from the last week's episode.
Each week, I'll be talking about different aspects of my journey and sharing some tips on weight loss and mental health. So let's get started.
I'm also going to talk about temptation.
Blaming others for my weaknesses. I changed my mind at the last minute, but it is a topic for the future. Instead, I'm going to continue with how I managed to lose weight and get fit the first time round, before COVID. I mentioned swimming in episode 2. If you haven't heard it yet, then maybe you should listen. Before I start though, I want to explain what's actually wrong with me. Well, apart from being fat. I have severe osteoarthritis in both hips. I like to emphasise the word severe because that's what the doctor used when he first diagnosed me. It helps to let people understand that it really frigging hurts. You might not know this, but when your hips actually start to go, you feel it in your groin first, not the actual hip. The pain's like a dull ache. And then you realise that your legs don't seem to work as well as they should. Next, can't bend down. At first I thought I'd just pulled a muscle, but it just started to get worse and worse. Eventually I went to the doctor, and to be honest, it was a bit of a shock to be diagnosed, aged only 46. Then they wouldn't operate because I was considered young, and now it's because of the weight, and that's why I'm trying hard to lose it. The pain in my legs is constant. I suppose I just get used to it. I've never really been one for taking any sort of relief, tablets. I feel that if you have it too often, then when you really need it, it doesn't work. So I try to save it for then. Luckily now the doctors allowed me to have some morphine, and I just literally take a bit when the pain gets really bad and when I need to move around, do things like driving. Something I do try to have though on a regular basis that helps a lot is a massage. I can't tell you how much relief I get from this. I mean, mostly, she just concentrates on my legs and glutes. Yeah, I know, poor girl. She started off though doing my back. I didn't realise a hip massage was a thing, but it really helps so much. I try to have one about every 6 to 8 weeks. Whenever I tell someone though that it's due, I always get the same comment. Wish I had a quid for every time I hear, "Do you get a happy ending?" So I say, "What, you mean like the all lived happily ever after? It's a massage, not story time." "No, no, you know what I mean." They sort of wink and try to nudge me. "You know, does she, you know, did..." So I just pretend I've got no idea what they're on about. "What do you mean?" "Yeah, you know, does she help you?" "Well, yeah, of course she does." And then they're like, "Oh, really? And I say, "Yeah, yeah. No way I could get up on that table without her helping. Bit too high to swing my legs up." It's fun watching them become embarrassed, having to tell me what they mean. I've mastered that "what sort of pervert do you think I am" look. It does surprise me now, this seems to be the opinion of absolutely everyone. Mention the word massage and all they think about is you getting a tug at the end. I am aware, of course, that those sort of massages aren't available. But believe me, I'd rather spend the money getting my legs sorted. Besides, I can reach my legs, and it's something I can definitely do myself. I feel more sorry, though, for the ladies. You know, the ones that offer a genuine service. I mean, must get it all the time. I asked mine about this, and she confirmed, said, "Yeah, loads of weird requests." I'm actually looking at getting on guests for this podcast in the future. So I asked if she might be interested to come on and talk about it, the massages and everything, maybe some of the other stories behind it. Obviously, though, with what she has to say, it'll have to be up to the watershed. Anyway, getting back to the story. I started swimming, and it was going great. But I needed to do something else. The sport I was playing before I had to pack in because of the hips was tennis. I absolutely loved it. And I actually got quite good at it. Even now, though, I struggle to watch anyone playing because I just miss it so much. It's hard to see someone enjoying doing something that you used to do, but now can't. My dad played the table version. I remember when he was in his 40s going out at night for a game, despite having no kneecaps and not walking too good. It didn't seem to bother him. Maybe in my crippled state, I might be able to have a go, I thought. So I started looking around for any disabled clubs. It seemed the obvious choice, yeah, the D word. That's when you realise that you're part of the club no one wants to join. I wasn't having much luck, and then all of a sudden I found one that offered table tennis and something called sit-down boccia. I thought, well, I might as well give it a go. So I went along. Wasn't long before I was regretting that, shall I say that one again? Regretting that decision. I mean, sit-down boccia was one thing, but sit-down table tennis, that's never going to catch on. Fetching the balls was a nightmare. Everything for a reason, though. Because as luck would have it, the lady running the disabled group that week, well, she looked after a drop-in table tennis session. And after seeing me play, she realised that obviously I could stand and actually hit the ball. And so she said I'd be fine to come along to the other club. So the next Thursday I did. Lovely, friendly group. And I soon got used to going. Even though I couldn't move from side to side, I was able to make a slight half step forward, which allowed me to close up or open a table and actually have a game. I won't go into the ins and outs of playing table tennis, but I managed to be able to play like this. I wasn't on morphine then, so the only pain relief I had was something called Fenbid Gel. It's a form of ibuprofen that basically, well, it ensures you can do about an hour without too much discomfort. The next day was horrendous, of course, and I could hardly walk, but I always felt it was worth it, just having a game of tennis, table tennis, sorry, for an hour once a week. After a few weeks, I was actually getting quite good at it. Well, at least I thought I was. Until I went to meet some family in a bowling alley. And they just happened to have a table tennis table. And of course the challenge came in. Obviously not from me. But my nephew, who clearly wanted my triple scalp to add to his trophy cabinet. I won't lie, it was a whitewash. He beat me 5-0. In my head though, I was confident I could beat him. Not yet. Maybe in a month, maybe a bit longer. And I told him so. He says, just give me a few weeks and you're going to lose. I can still see the smile on his face now as he walked away. And I thought, shit, me and my big mouth. What have I let myself in for? So I had about 6 to 8 weeks, I thought. I've got to get better at this. I need to do something. Looking back now, I realised that by putting that challenge in, I was actually motivating myself. I had something to work at, even if the chances of success were low. I guess in a way, that's why I'm writing the blog that I'm doing and this podcast, proclaiming to the world that I will succeed in becoming a fitty. Well, losing the weight at least, anyway. As I said last week, I may have overshot the goal, but fat to wandry guy that might just stand a chance. Yeah, it's not got the same ring to it. I did learn something very important, though, from that defeat. And that was defeat needed sorting out. Yeah. Maybe I should have delivered that line with a Jamaican accent, but yeah, maybe not. What I was wearing when playing were a pair of trainers that had a Velcro fastening. And I used to use a grabber to enable me to put them on and then pull the strap across. But when I was playing my nephew, I realised there was only one thing for it, and that was to go barefoot. The trainers were putting me off. I checked in the rules to see if it was allowed, and a guy told me, yeah. We'd had a coach come over to the club, and he'd given me a few pointers, and he showed me that it was fine. He knew of someone else who played in the league, actually, barefoot, and no one had questioned it. This moment, if you like, this penny dropping, it was huge for me because not only table tennis, but in everyday life, I now spend most of my time barefoot. I just feel safe, less likely to trip up. But there's no question that it greatly improved a table tennis game. Over the next few weeks, I just got better. Maybe it was the coaching. Maybe it was a decent bat that he'd sold me. Or maybe it was the Sandy Shaw look. I really don't know. But I was definitely getting better, and more importantly, thinner. I started playing at another club. Standard was a bit higher there. Not as much fun, but an extra day. I did it for about 4 or 5 weeks, and it definitely helped playing people who were a bit better. Finally, about 2 months had passed, and the rematch was on. My nephew arrived at the club, played him at the health centre where I go now. As he walked through the door, his brother was with him. Oh, yeah. Moral support, I asked. Oh, yeah, he's just come to watch. Watch my ass, I thought. Yeah, come to gloat. Well, now I definitely had to win now. So off I went to the toilet, and I blathered on the gel. I must have used 2 tubes. No way was I halting this game through pain. Now, you don't need to worry. I'm not going to give a full match analysis. You can just have the results. Basically, I beat my first nephew 5-0. Of course, the second nephew, who just tagged on to watch, fancied his chances, and I beat him 4-0. And then they both combined together, so they were playing doubles, and I was... It's the way you can do it. It's a genuine thing, okay? And I beat them 3-0. So 12 games altogether. Oh, you can only imagine the smile on my face. It wasn't going anywhere. So, unlike them two, sloped off to the pool as quick as I could. When I eventually got into the swimming area, I couldn't see them anywhere. I didn't realise they were still sulking in the steam room. They came out like 2 tomatoes, clearly being in longer than they should, hoping that I'd have gone by then. They tried to ignore me and pretend they couldn't see me as they walked out. I'd see you later, not stopping for a drink. Yeah, they didn't look happy. Don't worry, I shouted. I won't tell anyone. I remember though, I cut my swim short that day. I got some pain in my side. Probably just some muscle I'd pulled or something, I thought. Obviously all that stretching with the table tennis. As I got out, it started hurting even more. For about a month after I was playing table tennis, I continued swimming, but the pain just kept coming back, mostly when I was doing one of those 2 activities. Until one day it was just excruciating. I couldn't stand it anymore, so I started taking painkillers, and they didn't work, and the pain got worse. Until one day, I remember in particular, it was just so bad I could hardly walk. I had no choice and I called an ambulance. So it turned up. They took me straight in, basically. The pain just wouldn't stop. But once I got into hospital, I got some proper drugs and started to calm down a little bit. And I literally spent all day in there, had quite a few tests, until eventually, it was about 6, 7 o'clock at night now, they sent me up to an assessment ward, and I was placed in a room, just waiting for about an hour, until finally a doctor came in. Female, obviously. Asked me to take off my shorts and then my pants. Thought, yeah, great. And then a nurse walked in with a clipboard and pen. And she stood there while the doctor's examining me. Just writing notes and doing something. I thought, what the frig is she writing down? I don't know, maybe she's doing a sketch. Pretty weird life drawing class. And then after a few minutes, they asked me to lay down on the bed. And they just both walked out. So there I was, just laying there thinking, should I get dressed? You know, what if a cleaner comes in? And then the door opened again and the doctor came back in. But this time with a different nurse. Well, she had a clipboard and pen. The frigging hell they're going to do, I thought. Compare pictures. Can you stand up, please? Oh, flip's sake. I felt like asking who's coming in next for a look. Thank God the heaters were on. Finally, after a bit of prodding, I was told I had a hernia and they were going to operate that night. It was apparently my groin and it was quite a big one and they were worried. Nothing quite like the words emergency operation to make you think, Anyway, about an hour later, I ended up having another examination. And then from this, I think it wasn't the surgeon, but it was somebody quite high up again. I was told then about half an hour later that, listen, they thought it had gone down and they wanted me to go home, call me back in a week later and have a scan just to double check. So basically, it was going to be a few more weeks. I won't lie, I was relieved, I think. I didn't want to be going in having anything done immediately. If you want to hear what happened after this, I'm not going to carry on talking now about the hernia, but I did mention it and the whole procedure that I went through afterwards. So have a listen to episode one. Should cheer you up. Anyway, basically, from that time, my swimming and table tennis were over. They told me not to do anything like that until I'd had the operation. But also, it just hurt too much when I did either. I can't say for a fact that it was that game of table tennis that brought it on, but it certainly didn't help. It was definitely worth it. And yes, I would have done it again. I think the two guys, by the way, my nephews, I think they're over the humiliation. Had a drink with one the other week. And he happily confirmed my story to someone. Still mentioning, though, one fantastic shot he made, which sadly wasn't enough to clinch victory. Anyway, to the present day. Now I'm getting better again, swimming. I'm desperate to play somebody at table tennis. But the problem is, no one will. They're all too scared to be beaten by a cripple who may just let everyone know about it. I keep trying to explain that it's going to take me months to get back to being anything decent again, and I just want to practice and have a knock-up. But still, no takers. I'm promising offers for a game. Yeah, they come. But no one shows up. I really do need something else to do other than swimming. I know after last time that it worked. A bit of movement in sweat is good for the weight loss. Maybe I just need to find something I can do on my own without relying on others. There's also the small matter of money. I could do with a few quid to help pay for whatever form of exercise I decide to take up, because let's be honest, nothing's cheap. So I've had a few thoughts and ideas, things I should do. Cleaning cars, yeah, that's out. Took me an hour just to do mine the other day. In fact, everything I try to do is about 5 times slower than everybody else. In a way, that's why I started the blog. I used to write years ago, and I wanted to get back doing it, hoping that I could use the blog as a sort of CV for potential clients. When I started writing, I was just going to write about things from my job, my work, history and stories and news items. But instead, I decided to use my weight loss goal as a reason. I'm glad I did because, yeah, it's strange how things have developed. I had no intention that this would take over. And I'd just like to say I'm really grateful to everyone who reads the blog and obviously listens to this podcast. If you haven't had a look at the blog yet, please do. It's just me writing the same sort of crap that I talk about on here. Yeah, there's humour involved, obviously. I honestly believe that's very important, and I try to give advice to others, anyone that's going through a similar thing to me. And hopefully, it will one day lead to me making some money. I mean, that's the plan. Oh, wait. In the words of Charlie Croker, hang on, lads. I've got a great idea. I know how I could earn a few quid. Life drawing model. I mean, hey, I've got the experience. I'm sure they'll love a slightly chubby guy in class. Be good practice from sketching creases and hernia scars, not to mention man boobs. Be like doing Dawn French in a birthday suit. Especially if it's January and they leave the window open. See you next week. That's it for this episode. If you managed to listen all the way, I'd like to say a massive thank you. Please get in touch, even if you thought it was crap. I'd still love to hear what you think. All social media and contact details are on my website, keithmulhern.com. I hope you enjoyed listening and I made you smile. If so, please tell others. If not, well, just, I don't know. Lie. See you next week.